Hi guys, welcome and welcome back to another episode of Reconcile the podcast.
My name is Rashara.
My name is Natalie.
And today we have a very lovely guest, as you can see. We'll let her introduce herself because this is a butcher. We will butcher this introduction, but we are so honored to have you on this platform.
Thank you.
So you can tell us your name, what you do, what does your ministry look like? Just a brief.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Maria. I am a child of God, number one. Mm-hmm. And I'm a wife and a mom. I work in research. I'm passionate about data and using data to be able to inform ministry. And then I do a lot of other things on the side. So I like to write. I like to dip my toe in podcasts and I love to read. I love books.
Yes.
That's me.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Maria, for accepting the invitation to be
honored.
So highly honored. I am highly honored.
We are just like, what?
Season two.
Way.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
So maybe before we head into the bulk of the conversation, Natalie has we have some few
icebreakers.
A few questions.
So, number one, if you could speak in only one language for the rest of your life, what language would it be?
English.
Oh,
I knew that.
Okay, but what's a language that you'd love to know?
French. I work a lot with our Francophone teams, but then language barriers. Mm. Yeah, and I'm passionate about just ministering to that context.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
French. Moshe?
I think English. I would have said Swahili, but after this mission, I realized, by the way, I don't know Swahili. You know, Isiolo people don't know English. You have to speak in Kai. I don't know Swahili, so English.
And what's a language that you'd love to know?
Spanish. Just because it's a very...
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's fun. Yeah. What's a language that... Fun fact... Mm-hmm. When I was in high school, I used to teach myself German. I don't know, because I thought I was gonna go to Germany for whatever reason that I don't even know. Mm. So I used to watch YouTube videos on German, and I would actually construct sentences. Wow. But well, here I am. So I think German and French. I think so. Okay, so what is one thing you can't leave the house with?
Can't leave the house with?
Yeah.
With or without? I'm a both.
What is one thing? What is that statement?
What is one thing you cannot leave the house without?
Without.
Yeah, I think it makes more sense.
without.
Yeah. I think my phone.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. For you?
I don't know. My phone as well, but I thought because you are an introvert, maybe, I don't know what I was expecting.
Like a book.
Yeah.
Like I always have a book bag with me and some, even though there's a book inside.
Okay. What does a typical day off look like for you?
Saturday mornings, those are my days off, even from mom life, wife life. So it's a coffee shop with a book. Mm. Yeah. That's a slower morning. Mm. Yeah. And then sometimes cook. I love to cook.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Nice. Okay. Taking back to 17-year-old Maria, did she ever think she would get married to a pastor?
No, it wasn't even a Christian. So
it was not in your radar.
Yeah, at all. Yeah, I don't even think, because I came from an Anglican background. Mm. So I didn't even have frame of reference for even a pastor.
Oh, yeah.
Per se. Yeah.
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 Okay. Lastly, can you share a pivotal moment that shaped who you are today?
Pivotal moment that shaped who I am today. Okay.
That's a hard one.
Yeah. I think just challenges of uni life. Mm. Uni life and just being so lost. Mm. I think the biggest thing I needed when I was in uni was for someone to tell me that God loves me, that I can start over, that I had a place. Mm. And so because of not hearing that, it's changed what I wanted to use my life for, to tell people that they're loved, that they can start again. And yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
So maybe let's start from your faith journey. Yeah. How did you did you grow up in a Christian background home? How was that growing up? When did you get born again? How has until now?
Until now.
Yeah, until now.
Okay. where does the story begin? So I did grow up in a Christian home. Mm. And by that, like, you know, it's like you're born into it, mm. but then you've never actually made a conscious decision for yourself. Yeah. So for me, I grew up in a home that Sundays were in church mm. automatically. Mm. Yeah, so we're in church on Sundays. And then other than that, like, I went to a primary school where that had like Christian songs. There was CRE. So mm. knowing all those concepts. But then the older I got, like, I just couldn't relate with church at all. So mm. I remember my teens, mm. I was just like, this is boring. Mm. This is, God is not relatable. He is not fun. And then the more decisions that I made that weren't in line with our faith, mm. the faith that we believe in now,
yeah.
I was just like, Christians are judgmental. Yeah, and so all of that. So by the time I went to campus really early. I was 17.
Mm.
And so by the time I went to campus, because I didn't live at home anymore, mm. I was just like, I'm done with church. So I stayed out of church for maybe 3-4 years. Mm. Just in campus, made a lot of really bad decisions. I was looking for God, but I didn't know I was looking for God. And then I reached the end of myself. Mm. I think 20. I'd been in a long-term relationship that didn't work out. I had failed campus. I was just looking for something. So mm. I remember I was going to my fourth year. And my GPA was like 1.7. So there's no way you're going. Yeah, because I used to, it was part of the culture of uni, like, you know, skip class yeah. and all of that. And then I was in this circle of friends who were like all models, aspiring models. Like, it was just like that crew. Mm. That's very, I don't want to call it vain, mm. but there was such a dependence and trust in appearance, how you looked and yeah, so I was just looking for affirmation, looking for acceptance. Mm. And then I just fell into like real depression. I think all through, even when I was in primary school, mm. I had struggled with my mental health. I had had suicide attempts at that point. I hadn't been in hospital because of one of them.
Mm.
So I was always just felt like I had no worth and mm. I had no value. And so my relationship ended. I'd failed campus mm. and I was trying to figure out, okay, God, what do I do? And of course, like I had, you know, the thing is, the beauty of growing up around faith is that the scriptures that you can turn back to, like you don't really believe him at that point, but yeah. then you go back and remember, oh yeah, but then class 3, we're taught John 3:16.
Yeah.
And those things come back to memory. Mm. And so I remember at that point, like trying to hold on to some aspects of faith.
Mm.
And around that season, my mom had become born again. She had given her life to Christ. And she had sent this very dramatic group, you know, those like bulk, whatever, messages. Like, praise the Lord, today I have given my life. Yeah. And I was just like, what? And I remember laughing, like I'd come from, I was hungover and I'd been out the night before and I had no frame of reference. I'm like, mm. what is this lady saying? And I was like, okay, whatever. But over months, I saw her change.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, something must have really happened in her life. And so over that time, she had begun, like, she had a Kirk Franklin CD. Mm. She had like, and that's those are the days for like tuning
yeah.
and stuff. So she had all this stuff. So I just began being like, okay, what's going on?
Mm.
And I remember I didn't even bought a devotional. Like I was just trying to, I began wearing a crucifix. Like
I was trying
yeah. everything. I still wasn't in church, but mm. I was just trying to find aspects of God. But I remember like, cause we spent so much time partying, like Thursday to Sunday, we were out
mm.
every night and you're coming back home at like 6 a.m. Mm. This is when I lived in campus.
Mm.
And I remember coming back and it would just be a room full of people. Everyone's asleep on different corners
mm.
and just looking up. I'm just like, surely God, like this can't be it. This mm. can't be all that life is.
Mm.
So it was just empty. But then we're doing this, whether it's alcohol, it's drugs, it's going out, whatever it is. It was like we're silencing our inner demons. Like no one wants to deal with their trauma or mm. no one wants to deal with the reality of what's happening in their homes or their insecurities or their brokenness. So all of us were just numbing ourselves. And I was just like, this actually can't be it.
Mm.
So I remember like being, you know, the life of the party, being around these parties, but I was like, no one really knows what I was struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this friend I'd been in primary school with from like class 3. We used to play the piano together. Don't ask me if I played the piano.
Oh.
Someone like piano in French. You know those things you have to do yeah. in school,
yeah,
but
yeah,
then.
Yeah.
And I remember she sent me a sermon. I'd moved back home because I was kicked out of school.
Mm-hmm.
I was meant to be starting uni again. And I remember she sent me this sermon. It was like a T.D. Jakes message. And it was something about bumps in the road or something like that. And I just watched it in my room by myself, like being back home, like a failure, end of a relationship. I wasn't sure, like I didn't have a good relationship with my family growing up because of the decisions I was making. And I remember listening to that message, and for the first time I felt understood. And I felt like, Yanni, God sees me, and he is relatable. And I really actually felt the presence of God come into that room. So it was like 11 at night. I'm like, okay, God, I've tried everything. I have tried alcohol. I've tried these relationships. I've tried everything else. Let me just try you. I'm at the end of my rope.
Yeah.
Let me just try you. And gave my life to Christ then. And yeah, that was the beginning of that journey. The hardest thing is that when I made that decision, it's like he removed me completely from my environment. So I'd failed campus, found an opportunity to go start my degree again in a different country. And when I left, I cut off everyone. Was it the wisest, most mature thing to do? Look back, maybe not. But God had to completely remove me, especially because there was such a stronghold and addictions in my life. So I just moved away quietly. And for a long time, it was just me and God. And whatever sermons I'd watch on YouTube as... I guess like I was discipled through online ministry for a while. Yeah, so that's how I gave my life to Christ. And that was when I was 21, 2021. Yeah.
So I'd want to ask, did you, like the uni you were talking about, the one where you're partying every day, was it in Kenya?
Yes, it was in Kenya.
Really? Because in a sound like...
Is it USIU?
It is.
I know. That's every Thursday.
Yes.
That's when your party life begins.
That is where.
I was here trying to guess. It can't be where. It can't. What university is this?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now you moved to another country.
Yes.
You're by yourself.
So I had family that lived there, like direct family, but then I was just living by myself on campus.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did that now moving to another country, like, influence negatively? Or you talked about how now you were just watching sermons and everything, but did the lack of environment, maybe like your mom, your parents generally, and the people at home, did it like influence negatively other than the friends, cutting off the friends?
Imagine, no. It was honestly the best thing that happened to me, because it was like a wilderness. And it's like it's you and God, and you're having to face your past, you're having to face your present. And and that's trying to figure out. Because for me, failing campus was a big deal. Like, because in primary school, high school, I knew I was smart. Like, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I knew I performed well. So I knew that something, I had to be completely removed from my environment.
Yeah.
And it was the best decision, starting my degree again. So going from this first degree where I was having to beg the dean to be put back, and then eventually with my master's getting to actually work for the dean of a campus. So God redeemed everything.
So we've told you this, but we were in the Whole Woman conference. I've forgotten where it was, but you know it.
Yes.
So, and you had talked about like addictions, and even now you've talked about like being in a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
So the question is, like, how did it move from that? Like, okay, you're dealing with addictions, you're dealing with this toxic relationship. Like, was there, other than being in the wilderness part, like actually dealing with the toxicness and the addictions, was it like an abrupt change?
Yeah.
Or was it, okay, it's kidogo, 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 kidogo. And how did you now move from this place of a lack of identity, a lack of knowing, like you didn't know that you have a place, to now knowing my identity is in Christ? Like, how was that transition?
Okay, so I can talk about the relationship one first. I think that was a bit gradual. But I will say I stayed single for like about 8 years.
Eight years, yes.
Eight.
So wait, this is from when you're 20?
Yes, all the way, because me and my husband only began dating when I was 29. Wait.
So you moved from you moved from this toxic relationship to your now husband.
Yes.
You're giving hope. Hey. You're giving hope.
8 years.
Wow.
8 years, yeah.
Wow.
I think for me it's because I needed to figure out who I was. I don't know if you guys have experienced this, even in family or friendships, where coming out of it, I didn't know who I was. I don't even know my favorite color. I don't know what type of music I even like. I don't even know how I like to dress. Because sometimes you can do things to please someone else, to be affirmed by someone else. So for a long time, I wanted to figure out, okay, who am I as a person? But my other challenge became, I saw how far the wrong person can lead you off your path. So I wanted to figure out with God, what has God called me to? What did he create me for? And then once I figured that out and healed kidogo, like healing is still a journey. I'm like, which man would be a suitable partner for what God has called me to? Because sometimes we try to do it the other way around. Like we want God to give us the partner, then we like figure out our purpose later. But we get lost. So that was relationship. So I just cut off completely. I didn't date, but part of it was fear and trauma. I'm just like, I don't have room for this.
Wow. 8 years is a long time.
It's a very long time.
But I feel like it can also be, like with God, it can be a very fruitful
time. Yes. It really was. Like for me, actually, my singleness became an idol. So it was hard for me to actually let go of it at some point.
Really?
Yeah. Because I'm like, I am independent. Yeah. I enjoy being by myself. Now it became a challenge to not invite someone now into...
I think you're giving hope to people that it's okay.
Yeah. It's okay to be single, by the way.
Yeah, it's okay. And God will bring the person.
Yeah.
God,
it does,
God
yeah.
will bring. Just trust God.
Yeah.
Oh,
trust
my God.
God.
Okay.
Yes.
Something interesting you said, which is something, by the way, that is not talked about enough, is that, by the way, you need to find purpose first.
Yes.
Because before you start thinking about, oh, who is my partner or how does he look like? And whatever. Like, it's so interesting because sometimes we are so quick to be
have you answered the how did you grow into finding your identity? Because part of like living this life where everybody is constantly just telling me who I am and just like being in a toxic relationship, partying all the time, it does something to your mental health.
It does.
And you had also mentioned you are struggling with mental health. So how is that? How is that for you?
It's still a journey, honestly. I would don't say like I have figured it out, guys. Like I know it goes the seasons, but it needs community. Because even when I talk about like addictions and alcohol, for example, because you asked, was it an abrupt thing or was it over time? I think by God's grace, funny enough, I remember I was going to a Blankets and Wine. The year was 2012. I think it was a Blankets and Wine for August. But then there was someone I was with there and he was drunk. But someone was just like, Maria, this can't be it. This can't. And wow. I was also drunk. But then something in me just, I was like, you know what? This isn't the last time I'm drinking. But even with that, it's not a magical prayer or something that happens.
Years
down the line, even when things get hard for me, when things get dark, there's still a temptation to like, I just need a drink. To just like deal with things.
Wow.
And when that happens, I reach out to one of my mentors, one of my pastors. I'm just like, and I'm honest. I'm just like, you know what? It's hard. I feel like I need something to numb. And then we talk it through. So it's also the vulnerability within community. Identity and figuring that out. It's still a journey. This book, the good book, has been helpful.
Yeah, it's okay.
Has been helpful for me because everything I need to know about who I am is here. And it's been what's guided me. There's also a quote I read somewhere. She's called Margaret Atwood. I don't subscribe to some of her beliefs. Let me just give a disclaimer. But she said something, I think it was a fictional book, and it says she thought of him thinking of her and this was her salvation. So for me as a believer, how I saw it was that I think about Jesus thinking about me and it saves me from how I'm thinking about myself. When God says that, you know, he sings songs of deliverance over us, that's like from the womb that he knew us and he knit us together, that he created us for a purpose, that there's good works that he prepared in advance. Those are the things that come back and save me and give me a source of identity. So having to meditate on the word of God.
I have a question. So you said that in uni, what you desired was somebody to tell you, Maria, you know, God loves you. God loves you. So now with that knowledge, what would you, like, if you would go back to you, what would you do? Like, what do you tell you? Do you feel like it would make an impact in just, okay, Maria, just know God loves you. It's okay. Because sometimes we'd feel like, when we look at people who are like constantly maybe drinking or partying, we feel like they're lost, like they're gone. They will never. This is who they are for the rest of their lives. Do you feel like if you had somebody to just tell you, Maria, God loves you, it would have made a difference? Am I, you just be like, ah, leave me alone. or is it, I think we can be like that, ah, we're gonna bo, leave me alone. But do you feel like it would have an impact?
I think to some extent, because if I think about it, if someone had said, Maria, God loves you, then, and if I believe that God loves me, it would change who I'm looking for love from. It would change even the friends that I would choose or the relationships that I would choose and the decisions I'd make. But I remember even like when I'd given my life to Christ, I was just like, I thought God loved me because he felt sorry for me. Not like he just loves me just because he delights in me and in who I am. But it's like, ah, this Maria, she's so messed up. She's so broken. Let me just love her. So it's been a bit even of a journey with that. But to hear it, I think to hear God loves you and then to see people live it out is another thing. If the people who are like, okay, you're making these mistakes now, but you still have value, you're still welcome.
What does it mean to live it out, to have people who live it out?
I think the place of compassion, the place of, because even when you're talking about people who are lost, sometimes they're like, okay, you're lost, you stay I'm not going to bother invite you to come to church. I won't have coffee with you or lunch, but to be able to like live out the gospel with someone. And when they're sharing even the crazy things, they've just, because I have friends, even though they're like, yo, I took some kind of drug and I was tripping and I saw XYZ in my trip. So being able to hold space and conversation to someone and knowing that there's a quote, because I'm going to keep quoting.
It's okay. She loves her books.
I love my books. It says like, trust the slow work of God. So trust the slow work of God that's happening in someone's life is how we practically live out now that love.
Wow. That's so good. Trust the slow work. Because I feel like I've dismissed people. Okay, you are born again and then now you're not. Is that the end? Or like, God, what should I do? How should I be there for this person? But that's a good one.
Okay. Yeah. I think for me as well, because I've been your position before.
I was shy. But she's redeemed.
Redeemed.
Tongue speaking, demon chasing, everything.
But let me also answer this question. I feel like, even though maybe the change will not have been like, okay, like
instant.
You are still planting a seed. That's which true. Yes. As well, it just changes how we look at these people. Because I also do have friends who are still drinking, partying and everything. And I've also dismissed these people. I have, in fact, I have cut them off.
Yeah.
And then I've gone ahead and told myself that, bede, ni God amesema. Is it really God who has said?
Yeah.
Or is it me just not wanting to deal with these people?
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to just even, when you're talking about now showing compassion to these people and not cutting them off and not being like, okay, you know what, you're done for.
Yeah.
Because we'll talk about this in another episode, but just because we are quick to cut people off, Jesus, that is not how Jesus was.
Oh my God, I had a thought. No, it's gone. Oh no.
In the name of Jesus.
Come back.
Oh, so actually, amen. Friend, we are gonna ask so many questions. We have to milk everything out. But so how do you draw the line, or where do you draw the line? You have, so let me give an example. I had a friend who we were like working together, journeying together, and then at some point, especially after COVID, COVID just, I don't know what COVID did, but there's just something it did. And I remember for me, Yeah, alienda e direction. And then at some point I was like, oh, okay. I don't feel like this is it for me. Lord, let me just come back. But I remember in the beginning, I was, anytime I'd, like, I would be so influenced by them. So I'm trying, Lord, I'm trying to come back to you. But every time I'm with this person, how I speak, the things that I do, boom. Like, I'm taking steps and then 10 steps behind. Yeah. So, where do you draw the line of that?
That's a good question that the Lord may have an answer to. But I feel like, because it's a case-by-case basis, yes, and I think that's why, like, the relationship we have with the Holy Spirit to give us discernment, because there's people who, for a season, we may need to, like, cut completely. Mm. But then there's times that we just need to put, like, a bit of distance where that person is still part of your life. Mm-hmm. But then you recognize, like, that's someone, not someone you go to for advice or if you need to, like, work things out, that you have someone else who will give you something sound to. Yeah. Mm. So knowing that maybe this person, maybe if I used to see them 4 times a week, maybe I need to see them, like, once a week or every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Look, also, like, now limiting. But it's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah. I've asked that because I felt at some point I felt so bad because I was like, Lord, am I leading to their downfall if I distance myself? And this is affecting me. But am I the problem? Like, can I help? Can I remind them? Can I? But then I feel like I'm also being now dragged in all of this, but I also feel bad. Mm. It was just, but at some point I was just, I think the relationship took its course and it just naturally, it just naturally drifted, which sometimes I'm always like, okay, can I reach out? Should I reach out? I don't know. Mm. But that was just my question.
Because I think there's also a place where we have to also trust God with people.
Yes.
That he's at work in people's lives. So like, God, in this season, I can't be around them in this way. Send someone their way who will walk along this journey with them a bit more. And then maybe I'm going to go back at some point and maybe not. Mm. But knowing that, okay, God, I just need you to send someone, even if it can't be me in this season, so I can be stronger for them eventually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, sorry, Rachel.
No, you can go on.
Okay. So in a podcast episode, Maria has a podcast called A Few Dangerous Women.
Yes.
An amazing, amazing podcast. So in one of those episodes, you mentioned how God, and you've actually mentioned it right now, that God removed you from Kenya and took you to the to States. And then now, she hasn't mentioned it here, but in the podcast you mentioned that, so you're there, like, you have your American dream, things look like, wow. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, boom, God is like, you actually had a dream where God instructed you and God is like, I want you home. But you had also mentioned that Kenya was a place that hurt you deeply.
Yeah.
But now God is calling back to this place that... Lord, you know how I feel about this. So how was that?
It was a journey because I remember, so I first went to SA so for my undergrad. Mm-hmm. Then I moved back to Kenya for like 7 months, knowing that I always knew there was something in the US for me at some point. Mm. So when I moved back to Kenya, that's actually where I began going to the church I go to now. Mm. And I was here for like maybe 7 months and was serving there. Then I knew it was time now to go to the States. Mm. And when I was leaving, I was like leaving for good, by the way.
Yeah.
In fact, even my husband now, we were friends then. I'm like, oh, by the way. And I was like, yeah, okay, Kenya is great and everything. I'll come visit my family and then that's it. And I remember the week before I left, she's a mentor and an older sister now. She was praying for me and she was just like, and I was in a bit of a hard season because I tend to be in a lot of hard seasons. But she prayed and she's like, no, thank you, God, that Maria is going to go and everything that she learns now from the campus I went to, that she's going to bring it back now to our home church and serve there. And I'm just like, this lady is not in the spirit.
You
like,
don't know.
No.
I'm not going back.
At all. Like, I was actually done. Mm. And part of me, I still loved missions. I even wanted to go to Asia. Mm. But I'm like, I'm not even coming home at all. Mm. But over time, I think I said yes to God. And it was a journey of, I think, 1.5 years of when I said, okay, yes, God, I will move. So he began preparing me. And it was like a death. And there's someone who said, like, you know, we die 1,000 deaths, like every day, like dying to our dreams, dying to our plans. And it was challenging. So even moving back for 2 years, I'm just like, God, why? Mm-hmm. Why did I? But then for me, it was like trauma again. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't want to have to be here. Mm-hmm. And I remember in a different season, God saying to me that, you know, you're either going to walk with a limb because I've touched you or because you wouldn't let me heal you that you'll now walk with that limb. So now I was like, okay, God, I actually have to face my trauma. I have to face my places of unforgiveness. I have to face the decisions I made, the consequences of that, the people that I'd hurt. So it forced me to actually have to stop, but then also to recognize we have an enemy. We have a real enemy. And so sometimes what he'll do is because of the things we experience, he'll make us not want to be around the places that we are supposed to have impact in and the places that we're called to.
So before you moved to this, before you moved to the States, do you feel like sometimes the enemy can bring pain and hurt? Okay, but I think you mentioned it can bring pain and hurt because he knows, okay, like I want to remove her from here because this is her purpose.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's so crazy because I remember 2021, I was back here, but I used to travel maybe 9 months out of the year and I'd be gone for like 2 weeks each time. And I promise you, whenever I'd be on that last flight between Ethiopia and Kenya, the warfare was ridiculous. The weight of depression, anxiety, that's the loneliness. Every time that I'd hit that airspace now coming to Kenya, something would happen. And so I knew, like, eventually now I know that, you know, the enemy does fight where we're supposed to be.
Okay. So did that... let me ask, did that sort of influence how, like, you viewed God in that, like, okay, he's calling you to a place of pain. Before now, you began to, like, deal with it and being like, okay, God, let's work it out. But immediately you had that dream. Why are you like, God, surely, do you love me? Or did it, like, influence? Do you love me, God? How was that?
It was, you know, funny enough, my friend sent me an article recently about just like us wanting to be God's consultant. So I was like, God, like, I know you're all powerful and all wise and everything, but here there's like a miscalculation. I'm not sure if you know what you're doing. So I was like, God, I love you. I know you love me, but I don't think this is the best. I feel like I could be somewhere else and I would thrive more. But for me, thriving was about me being able to live my best life and go to all the coffee shops I want and have access to Amazon and all the books I can order. But it was never about purpose. It was never about the place that will make me the most effective in making disciples for him.
And do you feel like now having to obey in that specific time, did it like influence how you viewed obedience even to this day? Because I feel like sometimes personally I struggle with obedience. So I can imagine
we all
do. I'm in the States. I'm living my best life. So my question is like, okay, so obedience, you obeyed that time, you're here in Kenya. So even currently now God is like, okay, do this, Maria, do this. Are you quicker to obey, if that makes sense?
It depends on how big the ask of God is. Like smaller things, I'm like, yeah, I can obey this. This doesn't cost me. But if it costs me a lot, so even with the US one, I see it. Because I remember as soon as I moved back again, my friend who's now my husband, who I was just like, yeah, whatever.
Bye.
As soon as I moved back, almost immediately, like, a relationship came out of that. So God knew even where the person was meant to marry was. So it depends on how big of a sacrifice he's asking of me.
One of the reasons we asked that was because we people get hurt a lot by the church, by people in the church. And so for me, I remember there was a time that was so difficult, so difficult. I remember I used to go to ICC for like four Sundays. I think I went there, but it's because I was running away. Because I'm like, Lord, my church, I'm so hurt. I feel so offended. They don't understand me. What? Like I had all these excuses. But every time I'd go, I just knew, Natalie, you're not meant to be here. Stop running away from the fire.
Yes.
Because you see, we have the option of looking at hurt as, okay, I'm hurt. But you can also look at it from, okay, God, what are you teaching me?
Yes.
And I usually feel like when we go to heaven, there'll be no excuse that we can give God to say, God, I didn't do this because this person hurt me.
Yeah.
Be like, but look at my son, Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look at him and see everything. I like to look at his life and then think, Yani, Jesus, you went through all these things. Yeah. These people, they were mean. Mm. And I've not even gone through that. They were so mean to you, but you still did it. And I know for a fact that if Jesus, like, because Holy Spirit lives in me, then he has given me the grace to overcome.
Yes.
So now during that season, I was like, okay, you know what? This is hard. I'm so scared. I feel so hurt. I feel embarrassed. I feel ashamed. But because I know this is not what your will is for me, it's okay. Let me come back. Let me be submitted. Let me just sit down and humble myself.
Yeah.
Despite everything that I feel. And right now, it's honestly the best decision that I made to just come back because I feel like I've become more mature. I've become more, I feel like I've become more mature and now I'm just like, okay, you know what? Situations, it's fine. They won't really remove me from the will of God because as we are going, there's how I usually look at it is, Natalie, for the things that God is calling you to, this is just miniature, like this is small.
Yes,
So now imagine when I can't handle my character when God has given me a bigger platform or anything. Yes. So now, right now he's training me and just being like, it's okay, you look at you first. Before you're looking at, okay, so this person, they did 1, 2, 3 things.
Yeah.
I want you to look at yourself and that has given me more, a little bit of grace. That's a little bit. I'm getting there. But it's given me a little bit of grace.
I love that.
Okay, let's talk about faithful follower.
Okay.
Faithful follower. First of all, when I hear or when I see faithful follower, I keep on asking myself, am I a faithful follower? I wonder, Natalie, I don't know if you do, but I keep asking myself, am I a faithful?
I'm in process.
How would you define faithful follower? What is the ministry that is faithful follower? And just everything about that. Yeah. Okay.
So I can take it back first. Yeah. So when I first moved to SA, I began writing a blog called The Project Cross.
Yeah.
Which is a very dramatic name. But it was a season where I think it was called Project X. It's a movie that had just come out. So it was about partying and drinking and all of that.
Yeah.
So I was like, what if we lived a life that's about like the project is the cross? But then over time, I remember I took like a small social media break and I remember I'd gone to a conference and I began thinking, you know what, it's not a project that we take on, but it's something that changes us. We're changed by following. And that means that if we start a journey and we're in our grave clothes, like when Lazarus was called out, he was still in his grave clothes. And then now Jesus sent people and said, you know, unwrap these grave clothes. The dead girl, when she was raised, when brought back to life, Jesus said, you give her something to eat. So I see following as this journey of wherever we are now, as we keep taking these small steps that we become more and more like Christ. And we stumble and we make mistakes like David. And then we see, like, I think it's Psalm 51. And like even that prayer that he makes. So being a faithful follower is just like, I don't know, there's two parts of it. There's a part of resolve, like when it says that Jesus set his face like flint to Jerusalem, that it's just like I've made this decision that, you know, my gaze and my eyes are fixed on him, and I'm going to keep following him. So I'll fall, sometimes I'll go a kidogo off the path, what culture is doing right now, and he'll have to come bring me back.
Yeah.
Because he's the good shepherd who comes and, you know, takes the sheep and puts them on his neck and then brings them back into their path. So being a faithful follower to me is just like, I've made this decision. Like when Paul says that I resolve to know nothing among them other than Christ crucified. It's just this is the one I'm following and I'm not following perfectly, but I'm going to stay on this path.
I think it's important, Bethy, to just realize that journey is not perfect.
It's not at all.
I can still be a faithful follower and kidogo nitele.
Absolutely.
And I am still following as long as my eyes are on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your ministry, which is part of it, let me say, is faithful. So maybe tell us about even as well the discipleship program that you have for our listeners, our viewers, yeah. so that we can also plug in.
Yes.
To
I'm
your
so
ministry.
Excited. I am so excited. Yeah. And as you answer that question, maybe how did Faithful Follower come? What was the what birthed Faithful Follower?
It was just I was at a conference. Called by Jesus Images, called Jesus. It was Jesus 18
oh
back then.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh my gee. Okay, wow.
Yes. So I was there and I remember I kept seeing this picture, and which is what the logo is now. There was like a crown in the beginning, then there was a manger, and then there was a cross and a tomb and a king. So he was king from the very beginning. You know, when John 1 says, like, in the beginning was the word. So he was already king even from before. He just came to earth for the purposes of him becoming Emmanuel to to not sympathize with us, but just to become relatable and then eventually die. So that's what it stemmed from, just knowing that this is the one from the very beginning that we are following. So it came from there. Follow her just came out. I don't say it came out of nowhere. but over the last, you know those things that you feel like God almost tricked you into it. You did not see coming. Yeah. Because over the last 6 years, my favorite books have always been about discipleship. And I guess discipleship is exactly that idea of following. And Eugene Peterson has a book called A Long Obedience in the same direction. And it just means like over time, just like following the same path. It's like, I've made this decision, I'm going to obey over a long period of time. And it's not perfect, and it's following in the very normal. Like being married, I think sometimes when you think about even marriage, we think about the wedding day. Or like the rosho, or the leading up, we think about the date nights, all these, I don't know, more exciting, adrenaline, like romantic, everything. But then like the life, the day-to-day of you have a sick child, which I have right now, or just day in and day out of making breakfast, making dinner, sharing meals, going to bed, watching TV, having nothing to say when there's just like silence in the room. So life with Christ like that, following in that manner of, it's not always the exciting times. It's not always the worship nights, the conferences, the Sunday services. But in the day in and day out, when I wake up, are my thoughts centered towards Jesus? When I go into my job, is Christ in that space? When I enter an Uber and that Uber driver just like is quite he's made in the image of God. But yeah, in the day to day, like am I following? Because how I'm following is going to reflect in how I relate with other people. So I don't know if I've answered the question. So with follow her, I think it was coming off of whole woman as well. I think I'd spent my life hiding. At first I told God, I just want to hide behind books. Me, let me write, because I do not like the sound of my voice at all.
Same.
Yeah. Here we are.
You've said something about marriage, and I'm tempted to ask.
Yes.
Like, okay, you and your husband, maybe your boyfriend then. Like, how did you? I know this is not part of whatever, but let me just ask this, because sometimes you just, from just even seeing people around us, we get to like be so carried away by each other. So, like, how do you guys maintain, and how did you maintain, like, this is you, this is me, we love each other, but there's still God. And he has the he has the final say, he has the first place. So like, how do you balance that and not to get carried away? You get my point?
Yeah, like how did you seek, how is God in the center of your relationship?
No, okay. Okay, like, but to avoid, like how did you avoid getting carried away by this love, romance, earthly, whatever, whatever. And having Jesus at the center.
I think we're still trying to figure it out, honestly. But I would say it's from the place of, there's someone, again, books. It's someone, there's a book called like, When Sinners Say I Do. Knowing that we are broken people who have made the decision to live in covenant. And to, because marriage is God's idea. But even with that, when you're with someone and you see their flaws, like if when he sees my flaws and my mistakes and my brokenness and all these areas, it forces you to have to turn to God. Then you realize, my everything can't be in this person because they let me down. So I think it's in those experiences of the day to day, or every now and again when you feel let down, that really forces you like, and yeah, God has to be at the center of this. Because again, marriage can become an idol. And the person you're married to can,
Okay. It can become an idol in marriage, or even like, can marriage become an idol when you're already married? Maybe. Because I know for, like, when you're not married, you're always just like, I want to get married. I can't wait. I can't imagine my dress, my everything, the decor, everything. So, anyway, you were talking about now follow her.
Yes.
Why are you so passionate about discipleship?
Because the journey is long. It's no, even when you're called onto this narrow road and all the distractions that are there along the way. I think for me, when you look at from the book of Genesis and God's idea from the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden, him desiring to like live with humanity, but because of our brokenness and our sin. And then you see the book of Exodus, which is actually one of my favorite books in the Bible. Wow. Yeah, I know.
Interesting.
Because you see like these people just don't get it. They've seen all these signs and wonders, but then they keep falling over and over again. And then you keep falling through the Old Testament, you'll see through Chronicles, you'll see the kings. As in something will keep leading these people off over and over. And for me, that's why discipleship, I think, matters to me. Mm-hmm. Is because there will be so many things along our paths, whether it's our failures, whether it's our successes, it's the good and the bad. So how can we stay on this narrow road in community? Because I feel like our age right now is, isolation is the biggest thing.
It is.
Especially as an introvert.
Yeah.
So the idea of life together, we're designed to live in community. And then again, there's a place of church hurt and the things that remove you from the place of community that make you more susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. So for me, discipleship is just this narrow path that we have to take together. We can't take alone. So how can we create a program and environment to like take this journey of following Jesus together? So that, you know, when the Bible says that pity a man who has no one to pick him up, like one man. So if I'm walking with either of you and then I stumble, then you guys, one of you can be able to like pull me back and keep me.
Okay, so maybe you can tell us, it's a nine month program. Maybe you can tell us if any one of us would like to join, how would we go about that? And just more information.
Well, how you would join that is our Instagram page. So you can just send a DM. I think it's still open till the end of May.
Okay.
Then after that, we'll close it just so we can actually be intentional with going on that journey together. So it's 9 months of gather, grow, and go. So we gather as believers, which for each of us, like from our, in our respective churches, as respective communities, but then we also come together to worship God. We see that in scripture in the book of Revelations, like at the very end of everything, that we'll all worship, every nation, tribe, and tongue will be around the throne. That's a gathering. We see in the book of Acts at the day of Pentecost, it was a gathering of people who are there. So the place of gathering is so important, but then also of us getting to know each other, to champion each other, and build a fellowship. So that's the place of gather. And there's grow, which is now the spiritual disciplines. So of course we have so many of them. Like, you know, there's prayer, there's scripture, there's fasting, there's community, there's service. There's a few others, solitude, silence. I can't remember the rest. So us being able to focus on two, the place of prayer and the Bible reading. So going through the specific books of the Bible during these 9 months, and then gathering again to just, again, touch base, strengthen each other in our faith. Like one of the things I loved off of our last gathering is people wrote in just the prayers to God and the things that they're struggling with and being able to be encouragement for each other. So yeah, that's a place of the growing, but then we grow so we can go. So we don't become like these spiritually obese. Someone talked about spiritually obese Christians that we have watched all the sermons, listened to all the podcasts and we've just eaten everything, but we're not also pouring back out. So us being able to grow so that we can go and then be obedient to the Matthew 28 to make disciples of all nations. And then also to like practically serve our communities. Because sometimes you just came off of a mission trip. So there's the place of like the going far, but then also what does it look like to go in the day to day in the places that we are.
I just happened to come across a page on Instagram. It's called the salt something. So now this guy, I don't know why, I was just like, let me even subscribe to their newsletter. So what this guy does, he shared this verse that talks about that which Jesus began to do and to teach. So part of like going is teaching, like it's putting it into action. And I remember at like a few years back, somebody used to say, the little that you know about the word of God, because you usually feel like, oh my God, I need to know 20 mm-hmm. million verses yeah. for me to, or even when you're going for missions, yeah. it's yeah. usually, when I've gone to missions, I'm always like, but I don't know anything. You guys are the ones yeah. who know, so mm-hmm. you do it. But the little that we know, the little that we think, I don't even know why we call it little, because God is able, like even his word starts as a seed. But anyway, the little that we know can also be very impactful. So now for that, the guy behind the newsletter just talks about it's important that we learn how to teach.
Yes.
Just like Jesus, that which Jesus began to do and to teach. So now the things that he was knowing as he was seeing the Father he also started to do. So it's important that we also come to a place where, you know what, let me just step out in faith. Yeah. I might look foolish. It might feel, of course, it's so scary, but it's worthwhile. It's so important.
Absolutely.
Because that's how we are. It's one of the ways we are transformed into Jesus.
Yeah.
It's in the doing, in the walking. So,
love that.
As we come to a close, what is your favorite verse or quote? What is a favorite verse or quote that you are currently living by?
Okay. I think I've had the same scripture for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It may be Romans 15:12, I think, or 15:13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Spirit.
Mm.
So the idea that, because hopelessness will hit us in different ways, whether it's because of a diagnosis, it's something with a family member, it's grief from losing someone, it's unemployment, it's whatever it may be, it's an end of a relationship. So that place of there's a God of hope who authors hope, and that he fills us with joy and peace. That means in the middle of my circumstances that I can still have joy and peace because I'm trusting in him, that I may overflow with that hope of this God of hope, so that I may be able to now pour out hope to someone else. So even in the middle of my hopeless situation, I can still have joy and peace enough to be able to give hope to someone else.
Okay. So in the workbook, in the Follow Her workbook, there's a part that is written, there are women worth following. Women who teach us lessons on biblical womanhood, relationships, motherhood, and so many other things regarding the uniqueness of being daughters of God. Who are some of these women for you?
Oh, there are quite a few of them. Oh my gosh. From the top of my head, one of my closest friends, she lives in Zambia. She is the one who, when I moved to South Africa, 2 years later, we began a campus ministry.
Oh.
And she discipled me, basically. She was like 3 years, 4 years younger than me.
Mm.
But she is someone who shaped my faith now so deeply.
Mm.
Because she taught me, this is how you read the Bible. This is how you learn how to hear God's voice. We used to evangelize to drunk people on campus and be chased
away. Yeah. Wow.
We used to, in the streets of Johannesburg, we'd share the gospel. Like, we just had a courage in us then. So she's someone who's deeply shaped me. And I have this a number of really close friends, but even like one of my mentors, she's called Amondi, who was actually my matron of honor at my wedding, who continues to be someone who is so relatable. Like, she's a senior pastor at a church, but she's also relatable. And I think being able to have someone where I don't have to have a mask, I can, she's not judging me by what I've posted online. She's like, hey, I thought you were okay. Like, how can you be struggling with this? Yeah, just having someone like that, who just, even being around her, she was staying over with us recently, just watching her being a mom and watching her be a wife, just the normal day-to-day things and seeing God's glory in that has really shaped me. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like asking this question, I know it's like off topic. Can I ask, how do you deal with hurt? Like how do you... Actually, let me put it like this. How do you... You see how you can forgive? Have you ever found it hard? Like, you know you've forgiven, but you just can't let it go. Like, you know God, I've forgiven, but it's so hard. How do you, navigate that space?
I think it's an ongoing I wouldn't call it a battle, because I also have places of things that are forgiven that are huge.
Yeah.
Then sometimes either you just even see the person, or even see their name, and it all comes like it just over coming back. I think it's always an invitation back to God. I'm just like, okay, true. God, yeah. So I'm learning to see them as invitations, and then having to wrestle with God. How do I treat them in this very moment, despite how I feel? So I think I'm learning to put distance with some people, but then still having to like live out the gospel. But I have to keep going back to God, because I'm like, God, you mentioned this earlier. I'm like, God, have you seen what they did? Did you hear what they said? And the season that happened, and I was sitting with God, and the picture that I got was, I was showing God like my scars and my wounds, and then it's like he put out his hands, and then I could see like the holes in his hands, and he's like, look at mine also. And so knowing that I have a God who relates with how I'm feeling. So just learning to keep taking it to God and learning how to live it out with that person who's hurt me. Sometimes with a bit of a distance. And then there's people that over time, God just actually takes away that feeling completely. And then finding that they become such, like there's two or three people in my life now. In fact, I was telling my husband how, like, I've seen how the enemy works in bringing offense, that those people become such key kingdom partners.
That's true.
In what you're supposed to be doing. I'm like, Yanni, the enemy knew that when he planted this seed then, this is what this person was supposed to have been in my life. And so sometimes even for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of, I'm like, God, I don't want to be around this person. I don't even collaborate with this person. And then we miss the opportunities to partner with God in what he's doing. So even in the place of heart, learning, like, okay, God, give me perspective. In the grand scheme of things, what is this relationship supposed to have been? And how can it be redeemed? And how can you reconcile this relationship?
Okay. Any last words? Once we hand it over to Ashera, but any last words from you?
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thank you for
coming. A silently faithful follower. From you guys. Thank you.
Maybe we can end with a word of prayer. This was so nice, honestly. So I just feel like, wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm seeing the idea of having you. I don't know if you see it, but I don't know.
I love it.
Yeah,
I've been following Maria since before COVID, and you really... do you know, there's a post, this is going to sound so crazy, but there's a post of a very long post where you shared about, I think it was your graduation.
Yes.
Like, and that was such a long time ago, but that thing, I had to save it. So I'm like, it ministered so much to me. Anyway, so thank you. Thank you for being here.
It's so lovely. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We can end with a word of prayer. Maria,
you can pray for us.
Yeah.
Sure.
Our audience, whatever you feel led to,
pray about.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this podcast, God. I thank you for Asher and Natalie. And we pray for every person who is watching, who's listening, Heavenly Father. Lord, you alone know where they are in their journey of following you. I pray for anyone who may be feeling defeated or any sense of shame in this season because of decisions that they have made, how far they may be from you, O God. I just pray that you may lovingly draw them back to yourself. I pray for those who do not feel your love, that God in heaven, that they may experience your love even as they listen now, Lord. As they watch this, God, may they just encounter your love. I pray, Heavenly Father, just for those who are discouraged and who feel hopeless, God, you are the God of hope. And I pray that you may thus fill them with joy and peace as they trust in you. And I pray, Heavenly Father, for anyone who may not, is still trying to figure out their purpose and who you've called them to be, O God. I pray that, Lord in heaven, that you may just give them revelation, begin to show them the link between their education, their passions, their experiences, and who you've called them to uniquely be, O God. I pray for those who feel isolated, God, those who may be struggling to let go of certain friendships, relationships, that, Father in heaven, may you bring them around loving community, God, that they may be healed in the context of community, and that they may walk according to your purpose. And I pray for all of us, Lord, help us stay strong, help us be faithful in our journey with you, knowing that you are our eternally great reward and that you are our prize. So help us keep our eyes fixed on you, even with everything that's going on in culture, Lord. Help us keep our gaze on you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And that's it, guys. We are done. unfortunately, we are done.
But you know what? She should come back. Okay, yes. We hope that you can come back.
Yeah.
And Maria has a book. Mm. Maria has a book, and we hope that you can come back and we just, you know, now go.
Yes.
What does it mean to be a faithful follower, especially in this digital age?
Yeah. I'd love to. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much. That's it, guys. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, do all those things. Share with your friends if this podcast, this episode is relatable to you. Do you have any last words?
No.
And that's the thing about?
That's the thing about Maria. That's the thing about Maria. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.